Welcome to the Portland Yacht Services podcast series. Our podcast series is dedicated to education for the boat industry. And for more information, go to www.portlandyacht.com. Well, hi there, and we welcome you back to the Portland Yacht Services podcast series. We're very fortunate to have a boatyard of Portland Yacht Services status right here in our beautiful state of Maine for many reasons, of course, and the term world-class services comes with tremendous knowledge and craftsmanship for all types of boat, and we're talking about some refined wooden vessels today, classic and elegant with plenty of detail. We have someone who works in them on a regular basis and another gentleman who is very lucky enough to have owned one of these great vessels here for the last couple of years. My name is Norm Karkos, and we welcome you to this podcast as we once again welcome on to the podcast Rick Barkuff. He is the head of woodworking at Portland Yacht Services. Hello, Rick. How are you?
Hi, Norm.
Great to have you with us. And Matt Toomey, who's the owner of the vessel Blue Heron.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. We'll talk more about that in a second. And as always, Jason Curtis is going to be kind of laying low. He's back aft today, but when we need him, he'll come to the helm, right?
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yeah, Jason is the VP of Operations at Portland Yacht Services. Well, we're going to start things off by talking to Rick, who, of course, is the head of woodworking at PYS, and talking about the lore of boat building itself. And we're going to stay on the subject of wooden boat building. And how did you get involved? And I guess how much of this background is actual love of boats? Is it an art? Is it carpentry? Is it engineering? A combination of all things, I guess, Rick.
It is a combination of all things. I think the defining point for me was in Nantucket in the early 80s and or early 70s, rather, and I saw a boat with a curved laminated coaming on the dock, and I said, I got to figure out how to build that. And it just all went from there. Mm-hmm. And I just can't get away from it. I love boats. Yeah. I love wooden boats.
Well, take us through the evolution of wooden boat building. I know a lot of it is attention to detail, and there's just many different facets of this, from the outline to lofting to fairing and things along those lines. So, I mean, in a nutshell, I guess. I know that because we're talking years and years of restoration and refitting. So, but in a nutshell, how would you take us through the evolution of this?
Oh, let's see. It all depends on the project. So if you're starting fresh, you have to start with the lofting. If you're doing a restoration, you have to get rid of all the bad wood and mm-hmm. start with the new wood. So mm-hmm. it all depends on the project, where you start and where you end up.
Yeah, and a lot of detail. There's a lot of physicality to this on your behalf as well. I mean, this has to be a labor of love, and you have to have such knowledge and such passion, and there's such an apprenticeship that goes on before you work on a vessel of, well, like the Blue Heron. We're going to be speaking of that in a second, but you know, in terms of just grooming yourself to work on a vessel of this magnitude.
Yeah, I would say that even now, I've been into this for 30 years, and I'm still learning stuff as we go through different projects. So mm-hmm. it takes a lot of experience to know how to make that right decision about which mm-hmm. thing to do first, and 'cause it's all about organizing your project. So you start at the beginning and end at the end, and the straightest path you can go gets the best result. So figuring out how to do that is the yeah. biggest challenge.
Manufacturing wood, that's an art in itself. Matt Toomey, you're the owner of Blue Heron. You have certainly a passion for owning wooden boats, just as Rick has a passion for working on them. So tell us about this beautiful vessel. It's certainly a classic in every sense of the word here.
Well, sure, and it's a tremendous challenge to figure out what kind of an environment we can keep it in so that it can be properly maintained and get ready for its next 50 years of service. Right now, the boat is already 83 years old, so we need to get a show of hands of everyone that's involved to see who wants to take a 16-ton piece of polished furniture and throw it in the ocean, because that's what we're trying to do. And the goal is to figure out how can we marshal the resources and get all of the correct pieces together so that we can accomplish that successfully to appreciate the design. The design and the ability of this design to successfully transit the waters of our environment here in New England is certainly pretty magical for those who've had a chance to transit up and down the coastline. And since this design and some of the beautiful vessels from that golden age of the 1930s have been able to do that for 80 years, something that the community appreciates. It's a shock to see a very early design from this same designer, went out and won the Transpac race in 2013. So the owner of that boat made a decision to put together a team and go win races with an 80-year-old wooden sailboat. So sometimes that happens.
Sure. Just some specs on this, because it is a wonderful vessel, because we're on a podcast, so you have to use your imagination to visualize this. She's a 1934 Sparkman and Stevens, which is the epitome of boat designing, built by the Lemos brothers in Riverside, Rhode Island. Is that right?
That's correct, and it was launched on May 13th of 1934.
Yeah, and they say it was built in, they're calling typical S&S fashion. That's the oak frames, mahogany, planking, a teak decks, and Evador fasteners, is that right?
Evador fasteners, yes.
And that's a particular alloy of bronze that was that was popular at the time.
So... Rick, from your perspective, working on a vessel like this magnitude, and you see this, this has to be like the dream of a wooden boat builder right here, because
It absolutely is. When I saw this, the shape of this boat, I said, okay, I can work on this boat. This boat, because every day I'd walk by that boat and I look at it, and the shear line and the counter and the bow, and it all just goes together beautifully. So I get a lot of pleasure out of looking at the stuff I'm working on, and this is a good one.
Now, she was almost bare bones at the Maine Boat Builders Show back in 2013. Is that right?
Yes, we've taken it down, and that was done by Portland Yacht Services to make sure that there wouldn't be any mysteries inside the structure of the hull. They wanted to make sure that there wouldn't be any rot that could give us a problem going forward. So this is a major restoration. It's a complete restoration. I think Rick has done all the frames.
Yeah, we've done most of the frames. I'd say there's maybe four in the stern and four in the bow that are original, but the rest are all new.
So when you first saw her, what was your initial reaction? I mean, this is like a dream of dreams here for you.
Well, I knew it was an older boat, and I knew there's always things that come up with older boats, and so, but I had hoped that I had that this was going to be, we weren't going to find as much as we did, but the further we got into it, the more that we found, and it just became fairly obvious at one point that everything had to go on the interior to access all of the framework and all of the butt blocks and all of the floor timbers to replace it all. And I'm really glad that we went that far, because I found a lot of fastenings that were not in good shape that had to be replaced, because I know, Matt, safety is huge on your list of priorities for the reconstruction of this vessel.
And it has to be for those of us who travel. This is a beautiful boat for family travel. So if you're going to load up children and grandchildren, it's good to know the condition of your frames and fastenings.
And you have to be patient yourself, because this is not an overnight deal. You understand.
I had no idea how much bronze was in the structure. And that was a real eye-opener to me. There are through bolts, 5/8 inch diameter through bolts. There are 3/4 inch diameter solid bronze rods that are threaded that hold 4.1 tons of lead onto the bottom of the keel.
Wow.
So those 10 bolts are what actually are threaded and pull that 4 tons of lead up against the wooden keel. And that's fascinating when you see the back plating that's bronze, and the straps that are bronze, and the rods that you never imagined were inside the guts of a wooden boat.
Sure.
I think it's safe to say that Rick has, and Portland Yacht Services has, replaced over 90% of that.
Wow.
Those fastenings.
Yes, we have, yes.
Well, let's talk about your decision to go to Portland Yacht Services with Rick's background in woodworking, and, of course, Jason Curtis as the vice president of operation, and Finn Sprague's reputation is known throughout the world. So I guess, you know, if you had a boat of this magnitude, there's just a few places maybe on this planet to go take that, and you have him right here, you have her right here in Portland, Maine.
Well, that's right. I wanted a convenient location. I wanted a location where we could make sure to attract talent like Rick to come and work on it. I wanted the boat to be safe. I know that Finn can do the numbers. I had no idea before I first met him that he had circumnavigated the world on a schooner, but I knew that he had done a lot of sailing from high school on, as I had at the same at the same high school. So those of us who've had a chance to transit coastally and now late in life, now I'm sailing internationally, it's a real pleasure for me to be able to bring this boat to Portland Yacht Services, knowing that we can surround it with good people and that we're in a building where it's safe.
Yeah. Well, let's bring in Jason Curtis, because this has to be an honor for you at Portland Yacht Services to have Blue Heron in here. This is such a beautiful boat that is classic and elegant and, you know, a challenge as well. But, you know, this is what you thrive on at PYS.
It's a great project. You know, it makes us think. It makes us look at, you know, different ways to come about things. You know, talk to Matt about it as we're going. And, you know, we're proud to do it, and that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And then at the, you know, when we get to the end, you know, and projects that we've done in the past.
And you've been flexible, too, because there's a lot of surprises, and we have to budget for it.
That's
for
right.
Every time there's a surprise, we've got to budget for it.
We all got to think, you know, and so right, we're all on the same page with this. We're on a journey together,
yeah,
you know, through this.
Very helpful on that.
And
yeah.
When we get to the end of the road and when the boats are launching, everybody has that great sense of accomplishment. We're all looking at it like, yes, you know, even though we're not the owner, we have ownership in it.
Sure.
And it feels good at the end, you know. And
cardinal rule of yachting, don't own the boat. But sometimes when you want to make something good happen, sometimes you got to be the guy with the checkbook. And I'm the one reaching out and grabbing the third rail on this project in that respect, because I think that it's small enough so that I'll be able to accomplish it within a reasonable time. And that's a tremendous challenge.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous challenge for us to figure out how to fund it and get it done.
Yeah.
And when someone brings a vessel in of this magnitude, Rick, and they say, well, when can you have it done? It's not as if you're taking a 63 Buick Riviera to say, well, I'll have this done in a month. This is a longer process. You really don't have an ETA for this because it's a day-to-day thing, right?
Yes, at this point it is.
Yeah.
We're always over optimistic, though. That's the goes with all of this kind of work. And so we always want it to be done sooner than we can, because this kind of work just takes time. Mm-hmm. It does take time. You have to be patient.
Mm-hmm. And we prioritize it, too. Having completed the hull, Rick is leaning now towards a spreadsheet that will allow him to do everything required to get the main deck on.
Mm-hmm.
And once that's done, we think standing and running rigging. Okay, yeah. Let's calculate it, budget it, and make it so.
Yep. So do you two compromise at the start? You had a vision, and you had a vision as well, so I'm sure you had to meet somewhere in the middle, or did you want to take it back to its original form?
Nope.
Do you have to improvise a little bit, or how does this work?
It's really no compromising at all. Mostly we're just encouraging each other to make sure to use the very best materials.
Right.
We are Americans. Right. This design is something that just comes from a lineage of designs that really set world standards. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we want to take what was done by the Americans of the 20th century and make sure that we don't compromise.
Mm-hmm.
So Rick and I encourage each other to make sure to reach out for the very best materials, the very best fittings and fastenings that are required to make this thing as strong and as light and as beautiful and as safe as it has always been.
So the oak frames and the mahogany planking, the teak decks, that's all intact. That was never a question, right? Or is...
Well, it's a lot of new material. We're up to 60% new
really?
Planking, and you know, we're over 80 or 90% of the 43 frames that are in the design. And you can see the design if you go to Mystic Seaport.
Mm-hmm.
The first 100 designs from Sparkman and Stevens are carefully preserved in the museum down there.
Yeah.
So we can go and pull those line drawings if we need them. But because of the great work that's been done at Portland Yacht Services, you can easily say that 60% of the planking has been replaced.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This go around?
Yes.
And at least 85% of the frames have been replaced, and well over 90% of the bronze fastenings and all of the other bronze strapping and rods is all brand new.
So when someone asks you, how was your day today? What did you do? Well, you did different things. I mean, there's no one answer for the last 2 or 3 years, right?
Well, we have broken it down into categories. So we have a hull category, we have a deck category, we have a mechanical category, so we have laid out the project like that so Matt can make decisions about what kinds of things he wants in these different categories. And I've laid out the pricing and the hours that I think that all these projects are going to take, and then he can look at them and make some decisions about exactly how he wants to proceed.
What is it about sailing a wooden vessel as opposed to a fiberglass? I mean, I guess there's no comparison.
Well, I've done
the average
both.
Person.
Last weekend, I was out on a 42-footer in Chesapeake Bay. I was doing 7.5 knots, and it was moving well. But for me, there's a strength and beauty and a comfort that can be found only on wooden boats. Mm. I mean, anybody can go out and sail in a 40-foot Clorox bottle if they want to. Mm. But there's some real beautiful... history.
Yeah,
there's part of our maritime history is tied up in these vessels,
sure.
And that's part of why we're here. We don't talk about that very much at Portland Yacht Services, but certainly we're relying upon the institutional memories of guys like Finn and myself, the stuff I've seen since the 70s, and yourself, Rick, stuff that you've seen sailing on the South Shore and picking up beautiful stuff.
Yeah. And Jason, you know, when people learn this trade, like Rick, and they go to the apprentice shop in Rockland or the landing school in Kennebunk, I mean, you know, we're trying to encourage a new generation of building vessels here, and Rick has, you know, gone through the proper channels of protocol and things along those lines. So for PYS to have such a great history, as Matt was speaking of, when it comes to this wooden vessel and our rich maritime history, how does that make you feel at PYS and your staff?
It's a pretty cool feeling. You know, we get these larger projects in, and it's a long time to finish every one of them. I mean, Rick started before I started at PYS. I think this is my 19th year, but Rick started way back when we first rebuilt Prowess. And I think, Matt, you saw Prowess today.
Today, yes.
And that's part of the history of Portland Yacht that really started Portland Yacht Services with the vessel Prowess. I mean, she's a beautiful boat. And
Prowess was in about the same shape as Matt's boat is presently, and so it's going turn the clock back for me to rebuild this boat of Matt's.
How far along are you, would you say? Or is that it? Can you give an honest answer? Can you say, well, I'm 3/4 through, or you don't know yet?
Are we halfway or more?
I would say that the hull of the boat is about a third of the project, but Matt does have a leg up because the spars are mm-hmm. done. They need to be refinished. Much of the decking is done. We'll have to redo some of that. So it's not, I'd say it's a little more than a third, but usually a third is where you kind of think about the project for a hull of a boat.
And it's just hurry up and wait. But you can't rush these projects, Matt. You know that because it takes time, and Rick's doing such excellent work on this. So
Sure. Every
day has got to be almost like Christmas morning for you. Like, is it done yet?
It's a lot of fun to see the ballast back on and to see the... the shear strakes are beautiful. They're on now. And when the garboards went back on, that was very important because as soon as you take the garboards off a vessel, it's just no longer a vessel. Mm. It won't hold back the ocean. and so you feel like you're completely out of business. So when that stuff comes back together, there's a lot of joy associated with that. Scheduling is a tremendous challenge, and Finn has encouraged me to do it without incurring any debt. So I've been pay as you go, and I work a zillion hours a week to keep it all going. But
when we're emailing back and forth, Matt, we have to think of the time zone, and you know we're thinking about that.
Most of this year, I was 12 hours ahead of you. That's right. So I was in Southeast Asia for 5 months this year. So
we knew if we sent an email, it's probably going to come back in 12 or so hours, and it was. But the communication. You know, today's communication is one thing. We couldn't do this probably without today's communication with you.
Right, 20 years ago, we probably wouldn't be able to do it.
It would be really hard to do. Now it's,
over a phone. Yeah. And with your background in the United States Navy, Matt, I mean, you have such an appreciation for the sea itself. I mean, granted, this is a stark contrast from an aircraft carrier.
It's interesting. I've never served in the Navy myself. I'm a United States Merchant Marine officer.
Okay.
But for 200 years, the Navy has hired licensed officers to drive the gray-hulled ships, and I just happen to be one of them right now because I am a ship handler.
Mm-hmm.
I've enjoyed it very much. I've been doing it for 10 years. Before that, I had a 7-year stint in banking while I was raising my children,
mm-hmm.
and before that, I was in American Manufacturing Finance mm-hmm. here in Maine, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. I was in the paper mills here in Maine way back in the 80s. Because I've always enjoyed this corner of the world, and I'm a graduate of Bates, so I know the state.
Yes, you do. This getting back to the specs on Blue Heron again. She's 43 in length, is that right? 11 a beam, and her total with her ballast is 21,000. Or
it's 44 feet 7 inches stem to stern.
Mm-hmm.
If you got your your ballast rate on there, you'd get back to 46. But, yeah, think of it. It used to be 15 tons of leaky wood, but not anymore. It's all new. I used to go pump it out, you know, five strokes every day.
Yeah.
One of the things that impressed me about this boat was how much it's been used. I mean, the sills were worn, the cabin sole was worn, everything was worn. Like, that boat had been around quite a while, and it had been sailed many, many miles. I can't imagine how many miles under her keel, but it's quite a few just by judging the
That's right. The stories
worn.
Come in from the Caribbean, yeah. from the 1980s.
Yeah. And,
there was a man named Mitch Neff, former president of Sparkman and Stevens. He showed up one day with some paperwork, and he believes that the vessel won the Miami to Havana race in 1939, but I haven't seen those documents yet. They may have been lost into the mist of time, but it's fun when that history comes forward.
Well, we've got about a minute left. Let's look ahead to history, and let's just envision ourselves here when she's going to be launched in the maiden voyage here. So pure satisfaction for you, Rick, knowing that you worked on one of the great classic wooden vessels of our era, and for you, Matt, getting at the helm of this. So let's take us ahead of time here, whenever that day may be, because we don't know when it's going to be. So let's just envision that. What's this going to be like?
Oh, it's going to be a great day. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It'll be a great day. There'll be a big party.
Yeah. Yep, big party, and it sails well. We've seen it sail, you know, back around 2000. I sailed it for 5 months, and I think everybody will enjoy it.
And where's she going? Where's everyone taking her for the maiden voyage?
Right here, Penobscot Bay, Casco Bay, Frenchman's Bay. We got to do it all.
Exactly. So it's going to be a little bittersweet once she's launched, because you've been working on this project for a while, and every day is a labor of love for you, Rick. So it's going to be bittersweet.
It will be bittersweet, yeah. But I've done it many times before, and it's a great satisfaction to hand over a project like this to an owner, and you know that you did the best job that you could, and they'll be safe in the vessel.
And for Jason, another great boat for PYS that goes into the boatyard.
Yeah, it's great. You know, we see them out sailing even when we're traveling, and it just kind of, you give yourself a nod, you know, when you get to that.
Well, thank you so much, everybody. Here, Rick Barkoff, the head of woodworking at PYS, continued success in your labor of love on Blue Heron. And Matt, I know it's anxious. Every day is a new day here, owner of Blue Heron and Fair Winds and Following Seas, when she gets off into the waters. And Jason, thank you as always for being a part of this podcast. And we thank you. We look forward to seeing you or hearing you or speaking to you again here on the Portland Yacht Services podcast series.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Yacht Podcast Series. For more information on the boating industry itself, visit us on the web at www.portlandyacht.com.